I don't think I will ever be able to really understand how some Christians can believe that the decisions we make and the way we live our lives has no bearing on our eternal destination. There are many who say that all you have to do is make a decision one day to accept the Lord as your Savior, and then that there's nothing you can do throughout the course of the rest of your life that will cause your salvation to be lost. We look at today's gospel, for example. I wonder if people who hold that view have ever read this passage, because it's very clear. There's no doubt here that Jesus is teaching us that we're going to be judged in the end based on how we live. Yes, we need to accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. But then that acceptance and that decision has to have a bearing on the way that we act and speak and even think day after day. I think it's interesting how in the parable here, Jesus makes a distinction not only between the steward who does the master's will and one who doesn't do the master's will. He also makes a distinction between two different kinds of people who don't do the master's will. The one who knowingly does what the master doesn't want, and the one who unknowingly doesn't do what the master wants, right? The one who is ignorant of the master's will. And notice that Jesus doesn't say that the one who didn't know just simply got off the hook. That the master came back and said, "Oh, you didn't know that I didn't want you to do that? Come, I'll put you in charge of my affairs and my property." No. Jesus says, the one who didn't know but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Oh, what a relief. Only a light beating. I mean, no. That person still undergoes punishment. That person is still, in some sense, separated from the master. So it made me ask myself the question, are there areas in our lives, in my life, where I may be unknowingly apart from doing the master's will? And it occurred to me that there is one area, I think, well, there might be many, but at least one of the areas where maybe a lot of Catholics are in this area of not really understanding the Master's will. And that is in our civic responsibility. So over the course of the next 3 months, it's not going to be every Sunday, but I'm going to give a number of sermons focusing on our responsibility as citizens, particularly with regard to voting. Now, a lot of people have sort of this idea that the separation of church and state means that the church should not be saying anything to us about the process of voting. That here's my life of faith and my politics are different. Well, no, the Lord wants us to be an integrated whole. We're just one human being, each one of us. And so our faith should inform the way that we exercise our responsibility to vote. Now, I think I've said before, if not, I'll say it now. The church is not going to tell you who is the best candidate or who you should vote for. I promise, I am not going to say to you, you should vote for X person. That's not the role of the church. And the church doesn't endorse any particular political candidate. However, the church does offer us wisdom and guidance and teaching to help us to form our conscience properly so that we can make a good decision. How many have ever taught someone how to ride a bike? No one? Okay, I was going to say a few. So when you're teaching someone to ride a bike, you give them instruction on how it works. Right? You teach them how to stay upright without falling down. You probably tell them, okay, you're going to try to avoid gravel maybe, or try to avoid going through a patch of stickers, thorns. You know, we don't have much quicksand around here, but if you were in a place that had quicksand, you might say, you don't want to ride your bike into the quicksand. But you might say, try to stay on the smooth path. Or here's a route over here where there's beautiful scenery. You know, you're going to give instruction in riding that bike as to what way of riding the bike is going to result in the best or the most enjoyable experience and the safest thing. You're not going to say, ride your bike into the bad part of town where you're probably going to get jumped and beaten up and robbed. And yet, in teaching someone to ride a bike, you do not mandate, this is the place you must go only. Or, you can only go to this place on your bike. Well, maybe you do when the kids are really little. But the point of teaching to ride the bike is that they'll have freedom then to make good decisions about where to ride the bike. So, it's not a perfect analogy, but it's similar to the way the church teaches us about voting. As I said, the church will not tell us whom to vote for, but the church will give us instruction on how to make a good decision. So, as a way of introducing this theme, I simply want to briefly place the issue of voting in the proper context. And that is that it falls within the realm of morality. Okay, so when we look at the Catechism, where the church teaches us about exercising our civic responsibility and duty, that section is in the third section of the Catechism, which deals with our life in Christ. It's not entitled Do's and Don'ts. It's entitled Life in Christ. So what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And being a citizen, being an active participant in the life of the community and beyond, is part of being a faithful Christian. So, part of what the church is teaching us is that our faith has something to teach us, guidance to offer us in this realm of our public activity. Morality, of course, and life in Christ involves the ability to make good choices and the ability to make bad choices. So if voting is situated within the realm of morality, then it is possible for us to vote in a way that is virtuous. And it's also possible for us to vote in a way that is sinful, even gravely sinful. But as we are preparing to make the decision about voting, I would just ask that we all give some consideration to this fact, that our decision is made in the context of right and wrong. And so, when we're making that decision, we should be asking God for His guidance. We should be asking God for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to help us in exercising this responsibility. And then when we cast our vote, we can ask ourselves the question, is this what God wanted me to do? Did I sincerely make a decision based on how I believe the Lord is leading and guiding me? As you think about, why would God care who we vote for? Because God is interested in the common good. He wants our society to be built up, to be strengthened, and to be improved in whatever way possible. And so God isn't indifferent to the way that we vote. God cares, and God invites us to vote and exercise that civic responsibility in a way that is not just, if we can say legally good, but in a way that is virtuous, a way that is indeed holy. And so our decision doesn't lead us in the direction of that severe beating or even the light beating, but that decision, along with the other moral decisions that we make, leads us toward life, leads us toward integrity and a greater life of holiness.